You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Building Unicorns on CNBC TV 18. While we have so far talked to founders of unicorns, this time we decided to get someone who has been closely tracking the valuations and the deal activity in the sector over the past several years through the market intelligence platform Venture Intelligence. We have with us Arun Natarajan, founder of Venture Intelligence. Mr. Natarajan, thank you so much for joining us today here on Building Unicorns. And you know, it's been exactly 10 years since India got its first unicorn from within the startup ecosystem when InMobi became a unicorn in 2011. Now, cut to 2021, as per data from Venture Intelligence, we have 51 companies that have achieved the $1 billion valuation. And in fact, what a year 2021 has been. There have been 15 unicorns this year as per Venture Intelligence data. This is compared to the 9 unicorns in 2020. And of course, we also saw that one week where, you know, we were reporting one unicorn each day of the week. What do you make of this action, Mr. Natarajan? What do you think has led to this sudden unicorn rush? You know, a lot of these companies are around 5 to 7 years old. So are they ripe, you know, in turning unicorns this year? Or is it just that more investors are now more bullish on Indian startups?
Absolutely. You know, it is indeed a year of the unicorn, you know, so far, and especially in India. And the kind of, you know, data that we saw in April, you know, almost counting one per day was almost surreal. And, you know, to talk about, you know, surreal, the term unicorn itself, if you rewind back 2013, and that is, you know, after, like you rightly said, you know, we had our first unicorn in the form of InMobi. You know, a VC in the US, Eileen Lee, coined the term, right? And she actually coined the term to kind of indicate something that is rare in the startup ecosystem. I believe at that time, there were only, you know, 39 unicorns, even in the US. Now we are talking about 600 plus worldwide. Obviously, half of them are in the US, you know, 150 or so in China. And to see India, you know, get there as the number three slot, you know, with 50 plus is wonderful news, you know, both for, you know, entrepreneurs as well as investors. What we should, you know, keep in mind is clearly that this is a valuation, you know, phenomenon, and it is a milestone, like a lot of startups have said, and a milestone that sets expectations for these companies very high. So, you know, into your second question in terms of why now, why is this happening now? Very clearly, you know, a phenomenon, you know, which is global, driven by the liquidity and the kind of digitization that's happening, you know, including in India, across industries, is creating huge opportunities, you know, for startups who are ready. And, you know, a key point is that, you know, we had in our ecosystem, you know, quite a few mature companies that were available to be, you know, made into unicorns this year. And that speaks a lot about the hard work and groundwork that some of the VCs have done, you know, getting into 2021. So this is not a sudden 1 year phenomenon in that sense. It's a culmination of so many things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of startups that were working hard over the past 5-6 years, and that is where we are now seeing them achieve this milestone, like you said. But, you know, the valuation jumps have been really crazy over the last few months is what I'm seeing. Valuations are going up 3x in just 6 months for several of these unicorns, even by just existing investors. You know, how do you make sense of that?
Yeah, you know, when things are liquidity driven, you know, sense is one of those tough words to wrap your arms around. But yes, you know, the opportunities have really multiplied, you know, from a digitization. We saw this, you know, coming into EdTech last year, right? Just explosion. And similarly, fintech, you know, the pandemic has clearly played into that. And a lot of these companies have tailwind because of that. And a lot of industries, you know, the digitization, including literally today, several parts of India are under lockdown. And, you know, these startups are really what is keeping the backbone. And of course, the government and its role, whether it is, you know, the entire Aadhaar phenomenon and all is all coming up, you know, the fintech things, you know, fintech and e-commerce and, you know, edtech probably is an exception. were going to happen any which way. Just that this pandemic has accelerated, you know, for so many of these companies, you know, what would have happened in whether it is payments or otherwise, you know, regular e-commerce delivery. Today, e-commerce is the only way, you know, folks like us who are sitting at home are getting anything done, right? So that's the kind of change that has happened. And, you know, the valuation jump is reflective of that. Hopefully, you know, some of these are going to, you know, last and, you know, bring, create lasting companies. But, you know, the no question that, you know, overall liquidity is driving up valuations because, you know, some of this is difficult to explain because we used to see companies go, right, like you said, you know, from, let's say, 100 million valuation to a 600, 500, whatever, and then get to 1 billion. Now we are seeing unicorns minted directly at 2 billion plus this year, right? So we didn't see that, you know, before 2021, but a lot of other factors, like we mentioned, you know, liquidity, digitization, the maturity of these startups, this huge scale up, all of these are contributing and investors are, you know, clearly responsible folks who are putting other people's money at work and they wouldn't be doing, you know, stuff, you know, unless, you know, they see that value being realized down the line.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, like you pointed out, it is the liquidity and also the tailwinds that many sectors that you mentioned, of course, fintech, edtech got during the pandemic. But one trend that I really want to talk to you about is the fact that we are now seeing a lot of B2B unicorns emerge, especially this year. Of the 15 that I see on Venture Intelligence Unicorn Tracker, 7 are in the B2B space. And going by data from the past years, this is unprecedented because in the whole of 2020, there were 4 unicorns in the B2B space, as per your data. And in 2019, there were 5. And of course, in the years before, there were years where only B2C unicorns were being added. So is that trend changing now? And do you see more B2B unicorns coming up? And what do you make of this trend?
So definitely, you know, it's reflective of the kind of, you know, investments and the preference of investors over the years, you know, clearly was in the consumer space as far as India is concerned. The average, you know, venture capitalist will tell you even 2 years back that, you know, a unicorn, if at all, can be built only in the consumer. Consumer was the story. And if at all, and including InMobi or even companies like Dhruva, etc., you know, had to go out of India to capture markets, right? So those unicorns, you know, B2B were, you know, few and far between, you know, whether it's Freshworks, Dhruva, you know, InMobi, they had to look outside, you know, they were not India plays. But, you know, India, as far as the focus, including whether it is unicorn or high valuation in general, or exits in general to be had, that's what drives VCs. You know, they all believed that, you know, it is going to be a, you know, consumer play in India, but that's what gets scale in India. So the last couple of years, and especially this year, you know, because of the things we spoke about, pandemic included, and also the whole SaaS phenomenon, which is global. So, you know, if you take the largest companies, you know, they are looking at India as a market as well. But the B2B companies continue to be global in focus. The latest, for example, if you take Zeta, you know, as an example, you know, they are looking clearly, you know, an India company, but looking at global markets with India as a test market. And that's exactly how, you know, you had companies in the various SaaS, you know, kind of thing. They have their back offices in India, but, you know, they clearly start on day one with. But on the other hand, you have companies like, you know, InfraMarket, Moglix, who look now at India as the core market and are still get the kind of valuation. So that is the change that we are seeing now. While there were a rare B2B kind of place, especially SaaS ones in the past, but they were all, you know, US market and global market phasing. This year, the change is, you know, kind of fintech companies as well as, you know, some of these B2B marketplaces, which are targeting India as a market. And it's good to see investors believe now that, you know, Indian B2B companies with India as a market, like the way, you know, Flipkart, the original, you know, as a consumer market in India got anointed in 2014. 2021 is seeing a change of local companies, you know, B2B focused companies getting. And I think that should continue, you know, especially B2B within that fintech and some of these marketplace B2B focused markets.
Right. I think well said. I think India, the Indian market has become a big focus area for several B2B companies, SaaS companies as well. But, you know, one factor that I feel has also driven, and that may be my thinking, I want your opinion on this also. One factor is that there is an investor which was a big catalyst in making several B2C companies into unicorns, and that is Tiger Global, which is now eyeing a lot of B2B startups. And I think that could also be a big catalyst for B2B startups. And I want to talk to you about, you know, Tiger Global, SoftBank as investors, because really most of the unicorns on your list have, you know, either Tiger Global or SoftBank. And as per your data, Tiger Global has about 20 unicorns in its portfolio in India, followed by Sequoia, which has 17, and SoftBank, which has 13. Of course, a lot of common companies among them. But, you know, tell me about how you're looking at these new investments that Tiger Global is making, SoftBank is making. They're being very aggressive over the past few months in India.
Absolutely. You know, Tiger is indeed, you know, the trendsetter in the market, you know, public markets. You know, we all know that Infosys, you know, numbers come out and everybody pegs, you know, this thing to that, expectations to that. So similarly, Tiger Global has been for the past several years, you know, an investor that, you know, we look forward to in terms of, you know, where the puck is going in that sense, you know, for other investors. But I'm also very glad that you mentioned Sequoia, right? So they've been there, you know, from the beginning, literally, of the venture, you know, maturity cycle, you know, ever since 2000. And, you know, it's because of investors like Sequoia and others, you know, going forward, Axel and all that, the Tigers and SoftBank have, you know, a choice of, you know, picking companies to kind of anoint as, you know, unicorns today. And naturally, therefore, you know, there is a lot of overlap. But coming back to Tiger, absolutely, you know, the name that is setting the pace this year. And it is under the new person, you know, Scott Schleifer, who is different from, you know, Lee Fixell, who discovered Flipkart and a whole bunch of other B2C unicorns, you know, of the previous era. So, but yes, you know, it is a change in flavor because of Scott's taking over. But it's not as if, you know, Tiger has kind of moved away completely from B2C. You know, at least a third of their portfolio is now B2B, definitely correct. But, you know, still the story, we should not forget in this, you know, talking about B2B versus B2C, the bigger opportunities continue to remain while, you know, B2B was dwarfed earlier. Now it is coming into its own. So I wouldn't believe Tiger or otherwise is going to, you know, ignore the consumer opportunities in India. That is going to continue to be the mainstay, including to build the kind of scale companies that we're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like you said, you know, so many of VC firms like Sequoia, Axel have been the catalysts who have backed these companies who are now becoming unicorns, and they backed them way back when they were in the early stages. Moving beyond unicorns, Mr. Natarajan, I want to talk about the overall startup ecosystem. They have also had a great year. As per your data, till May, the startup ecosystem, the VC investments in India stood at $10.3 billion as of May, which is in just 5 months, while in the whole of 2020, VC investments were about $11 billion, and in 2019, it was $13 billion. So overall, you know, beyond just the unicorn story, the startup ecosystem in India is really having a good year. But one thing I do want to ask you is whether there has been any impact from the second wave of the pandemic, because unlike the first wave, the second wave has impacted literally everyone. Startups, they have told us that their teams, most of their members were either sick or their you know, family members were sick. Definitely, I think May was a very difficult year. And as per the data from Venture Intelligence, the deal activity has also slowed down in May. There were 47 deals in May compared to 62 in April, 67 in March. And about $1.7 billion raised in May. Do you see any impact in the VC investments because of the second wave of the pandemic? And then do you see that picking up in the second half of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in terms of, you know, the second wave, the way they were, you know, how intense and how quickly, you know, the spread of the a second wave happened, caught pretty much everybody unawares. And like you said, you know, it's impacted individuals across, you know, whether the companies as a whole has a tailwind because of COVID or lockdowns, you know, the individuals are affected and hence operations are affected. And also funding is affected. The numbers are quite clear. And, you know, the April numbers were stunning. And clearly, these are all build-ups, right? So the kind of normalization that we saw late last year to, you know, up to March this year, you know, had helped create that momentum for that funding, and people had the confidence to put that money to work. And that's what we saw in April. But ever since April, you know, when the second wave happened, I think that investors have kind of gone into a bit of a pause mode. In that sense, the big ticket deals, you know, including the unicorn phenomenon, you know, we saw as many as 11 in April and just two, you know, between Moglix and Zeta, you know, are being announced in May. Having said that, you know, I don't think this is a permanent thing. Like last year, nothing has changed in terms of the capital or the liquidity and the interest in the Indian market, you know. So therefore, as soon as we see a little bit of normality come back in terms of the lockdowns, etc., I think the money will also be back. And yes, there could be different bit of rotation in terms of sectors. We already talked about B2B and fintech. I would think, you know, going forward, you know, there is going to be a clear focus on healthcare. And, you know, we are seeing more late stage, given the vaccination phenomenon is not a startup area, but more mature pharmaceutical companies. I think a little bit of, you know, a shift in terms of investor attention, and I think it's good for the country overall, should go towards the healthcare side of things. And related opportunities for startups, of course, will be around that, you know, whether it is financing and so on, around the whole healthcare area and the infrastructure improvement there.
That's right. You know, I think healthcare is the focus area right now. Everyone has realized that the healthcare, health tech system in India needs more investment, needs more funding, and we hope there could be more deals. You know, my last question to you, I'm going to ask you for some of your predictions. We have seen about 15 unicorns so far in 2021. And just to clarify, your venture intelligence counts First Cry as a unicorn in 2021, while many reports have cited it as a unicorn in 2020. So as per venture intelligence, 15 unicorns so far, what's your prediction like for the whole of 2021? How many more unicorns would you expect joining the club?
Sure, you know, prediction is really tough out there. But yes, you know, given where China is and where India is to follow, if they are at 150, we are at 50, I don't see why, you know, we should not be catching up given so much of the global you know, factors at play. And also, you know, remember one of the key things that happened in 2020, you know, we saw literally a linkage back to the US ecosystem, you know, in India, and we've really seen a drying up of capital from China, right? So a lot of that, you know, is different, a very important factor that it plays up. It has not affected the ecosystem, but we are, you know, tied at with the US, you know, like it or not, if anything where to go wrong with the US or the global economy, we will immediately see that getting reflected, because we didn't have, you know, last 5 years, the story before the pandemic was a counterbalance of the US in form of China and, you know, other geographies contributing marginally. But, you know, now we are completely, you know, linked to the, at the hip, the US and a lot of these investors, including, you know, Tiger Global, obviously, are all, you know, US focused, you know, including the biggest portfolio of SoftBank is still the US, even though they are Japanese headquartered. So my real, you know, thing is, you know, what happens in the US is going to determine a lot of what, you know, we are going to see in the rest of the year, apart from the pandemic itself, you know, how it plays out. So these are the two, you know, key things I would look at in terms of sheer numbers of unicorns, given the opportunity and given how we are kind of following, you know, China in terms of, you know, the types of companies, et cetera, et cetera. You know, no surprise if that number, you know, even doubles from there, since you wanted a prediction, but it's a matter of time, right? So, but some of these things, you know, whether the US linkage and the pandemic, you know, when they will play out, in which manner, that will determine, you know, the remaining months of this year. But, you know, if I could just add, you know, quite literally a bottom line, you know, all of this is, remember, you know, investor driven. But you know, if you take the IPO phenomenon, and then it's so nice to see, you know, the Zomatos and other unicorns, Nykaas and all, confidently lining up for IPOs, delivery, of course, you know, lining up for IPOs in India, right? These are unicorns, but their real test will come when they go public and, you know, they're very visible in terms of their numbers. So that, you know, kind of will be for me a key test point when some of our startups go public in our markets and, you know, their valuations still hold up to that unicorn type.
Absolutely. I think that really will be the test of the valuations, whether the valuations have been inflated or whether they're justified. We have to wait and watch for those IPOs. Like you said, you know, while the first half of the year was about the unicorn story, the second half of 2021 is going to be about all the IPOs. There's a strong pipeline of unicorns who are ready to go public, and that too in India, which is very encouraging. Mr. Natarajan, thank you so much for joining us with your insights. We'll catch up with you again, maybe, you know, on that prediction of yours to see if it holds true or not on the number of unicorns. But thank you for joining us and stay safe.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.